little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
Margaret, thank you so much for coming in. I really do appreciate your time. I've invited you specially to come in and talk about your bone health, if that's okay with
that's
you.
That's fine.
Yeah. Perhaps you could outline a little bit about how you came to have concerns about your bones.
Well, in 2000, I broke my left wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I was arranging flowers in Durham Cathedral at the high altar and slipped. Unfortunately, I got a bit of water onto the marble floor. Obviously, I slipped and went down very heavily and broke my left wrist and had to have it in plaster for about 6 weeks or so.
And you couldn't swear when it happened.
Indeed, I couldn't. I had to put my hand over my mouth very quickly. And then about quite a few years later, in the snow and ice, I slipped again and I broke the same wrist again a second time. And then I decided that, well, something had to be done, really.
So when you broke your wrist on the first occasion, did you have a bone density scan done at that time?
No, I didn't, and no one mentioned it. I'd never heard the term before.
Yeah.
And it was never mentioned to me at all.
Okay. So it was an unusual thing to be done at that time, and I guess that we've been much more aware of bone health since then.
Yes.
And then subsequent, when you did it the second time, you felt that you needed to do something about it.
Yes.
I gather you were investigated at that time as well.
I was, yes, yeah. I was. And at that stage, something was done. I was attending the hospital. I went to a hand clinic and for about 6 or 8 weeks, went once a week, which was very helpful. And at that stage, it was decided that I would benefit from having one done.
Yeah, okay. And what was the outcome of that investigation?
The outcome of that was they decided that it would be appropriate for me to go onto alendronic acid tablets. I was told I would only have to take one a week, which wasn't difficult. And I was told it would be advantageous to take them for 3 years.
Okay. At that time, were you given an idea of how advantageous it would be, or if there was any risks or potential problems with using alendronic acid?
I certainly wasn't told of any problems, but I was told that it could not cure the state my bones were in, but it could certainly prevent, or it would slow down the process of getting osteoporosis.
Okay. And now we've done a rescan for your bone density. What was the reason for doing that rescan?
Well, the reason was I had 3 years on the tablets, and then I was told to take a 2-year holiday, as they termed it, which I did. And then when I was going to go back onto them again, or just before that, they reviewed my case and gave me another bone density scan.
Okay. So we're in the position where we'd like to try and make an informed decision for you as to how useful or not it is to think about different treatment options for you to protect your bones for the future.
Indeed,
okay.
Yes.
So we're going to try and help you with that decision at the moment. I must add it's a little bit difficult because you're in a special case that you've used it already for 3 years and then you're coming back to think about using it again.
Yes.
So we're in a little bit of no man's land, a slightly evidence-free area that we're uncertain as to what to advise for you. But we'll see if we can share that uncertainty with you and give you an idea of how helpful, generally speaking, alendronic acid and other medications might be in terms of protecting your bones at this stage.
Good,
that's
thank
okay.
you, yes.
Had you got any idea before you broke your bone, on two occasions,
yes,
that you might be prone to having thin bones or might be prone to having broken bones?
No, not at all.
In retrospect now, can you think why you might be prone to that?
I can't think why, because had a good diet when I was a kid. My, my mum made good food each week and we had plenty of meat and things like that. I don't like milk very much, tend to drink black drinks. So, but I eat lots of cheese and things like that. So I didn't ever think that I was devoid of anything in my diet at all.
So you've got an awareness that calcium might be important.
Yes.
We're going to come back to that later in detail. But just to say, calcium is in certain food products, not meat, but certain food products. That includes milk, as you quite rightly say, and cheese, as you quite rightly say. But there's other things as well.
Yeah.
And we can go into detail about how do we make sure you've got enough calcium?
Right.
We've got a very helpful tool for that. So we're going to come back to that. You had no idea, but we just before we set up the recording, just as we were about to get going, you mentioned to me that you had a hysterectomy.
Yes, that's right.
And you had your ovaries removed.
That's right.
And then you went on to HRT.
Indeed.
And you were on HRT for 25 years.
And more.
So this is one of the important questions that I would normally be asking you to find out. Was there a period of time where you didn't have enough estrogen around? So is there a chance that you could have had a failure of your ovaries and not been given any estrogen to replace, because that could increase your risks of having osteoporosis? Mm. That's not you, because you had HRT.
Yes.
So brilliant, well done. Can you think of any other reason why it might be more likely that you get osteoporosis, thin bones, than the next person?
I can't think of any reason at all.
Can I ask you about your smoking habits?
I don't smoke and never have.
Never smoked?
No.
So that puts you at a better risk, which is good. So a lesser risk, I would say. What about activity levels?
I must admit, I'm not particularly active. Now I just go to Tai Chi once a week. When I was at school, I used to write letters from my mum to excuse me from gym and games.
Okay.
I admit that now.
So not particularly keen on the physical side of things.
No. So I like dancing.
Great.
Did a lot of dancing in my younger days.
Brilliant.
Yes.
And that counts. And activity counts rather than just exercise. Yes. So activity is really good for you.
So I did that for many years. I went dancing every week. My husband and I went dancing every week.
Great.
So I did that. But besides that, nothing at all, really.
So you get a lot of protection from osteoporosis with weight-bearing exercise. We're not too sure about swimming, but certainly weight-bearing exercise. So dancing's ideal.
Yes.
And I would usually recommend for most people, if they can, for other health reasons as well as for their bone health, to do 150 minutes in total of activity. So that could just be walking, or it could be cycling, or it could be any activity that's weight-bearing.
I can't ride a bike.
Okay. Even an exercise bike is possible, though, isn't it? Without any skills. So that's worthwhile thinking about. Okay. Can I ask you about other lifestyle issues? Have you any other concerns related to your lifestyle that you think might be linked with this?
I do have arthritis in my knees and in my shoulder, and I've got a neck problem as well.
Can I check what sort of arthritis you have?
Just rheumatism.
Rheumatism, okay. Have you been told by us that this is osteoarthritis?
No.
Or rheumatoid arthritis?
No.
The reason for the difference, and the difference is quite important, that those people that actually get rheumatoid arthritis, and that's a particular pattern of arthritis, they are much more prone to getting osteoporosis.
Right.
And you don't have that.
No.
So that's good news for you in terms of that overall risk. Okay. Other lifestyle things that I'm getting at, really, and I know that you're not... you don't have an issue with alcohol intake, but if you regularly drink more than we would normally recommend, then that can put you at risk as well.
Yeah. So I must admit, I do like wine.
Okay. Can I just check with you in terms of your alcohol consumption? Wine you mentioned. How many bottles of wine that you would individually get through in a week?
I would think I have a couple of glasses of wine every day.
Now, are they home glasses? How many glasses would you get in a bottle?
About 6 or 8, I would think. 8.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it would take you how long to get through a bottle of wine?
3 days.
3 days, okay. So that's 9 units every 3 days.
Yes.
So we're probably thinking about 20 units per week, aren't we?
Yes, a little bit more, yes.
Okay. So that potentially could put you in a risk group.
Right.
Yeah. So that might be worthwhile bearing
in
mind.
That's right. I must think about that a bit more.
I normally would recommend, if you're happy to consider it, that you have at least 3 alcohol-free days a week.
Yes. I've read about that, having a couple of days off a week.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you can, to limit the amount of alcohol that you take at any one sitting to no more than 3 small glasses.
Mm. I wouldn't say I drank a lot at any one sitting.
Okay. That sounds doable then. So the 3 or 4 alcohol-free days could be doable as well.
Oh, yes, indeed it could, yes.
Good. Okay. There's another thing as well, which is probably something that you're not aware of. What about your family history of osteoporosis? Is there anybody in your family that's had a broken hip, for example?
No, I don't know anyone who had a broken hip at all. No, nobody in my family.
Now, can I check about medication use? Have we ever given you any steroid tablets or steroid courses?
No.
No, okay. So... there's no other particular reason why you might be particularly prone to this?
No.
Okay. Great. Do you have any questions at this stage related to your own situation?
No. I must think about that alcohol, though. Yeah. I must bear that in mind, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
With coming here today, were there any particular thoughts that you had of... We know that you've got thinnish bones.
Yes.
We've got a relatively recent bone density scan that we're going to talk through as well. Did you have any other thoughts about anything that might be triggering your osteoporosis apart from that alcohol?
Nothing else that I can think of.
No. Okay. Great. In terms of coming to see... to see me today, did you have any thoughts about what you were hoping that I would help you with?
I was hoping that you would help me with deciding whether to stay on the alendronic acid. I don't particularly enjoy sucking those calcium tablets, for instance, and I don't know whether they do very much good, quite frankly, because I've read things about how it's difficult for it to be absorbed into your body from them, and I worry that I'm just, you know... And really, I don't do that regularly, I've got to be fair. But I was wondering, now going back onto the alendronic acid tablets, taking them for a further period, I don't know, 2-3 years again?
I can hopefully help you make a decision.
Yes, I don't know what to do about that.
I might be able to help other people listening to this recording more than I can help you, because, as I say, things are a little bit uncertain when it comes to going back on a course of alendronic acid.
All right.
But I can try and give you a feel for making that decision and help you to make a decision.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that was nagging in the back of your brain or anything that you were worried about related to all of this?
No, nothing at all. Thank you.
Okay. And let me remind the listening audience that you've never been a smoker, that you're not particularly physically active, but we've talked about that. Maybe that's one of the things.
I used to swim quite a lot. I used to go to a gym and I swam 10 lengths every morning, 5 days a week. I used to do that. But then with doing breaststroke, I got neck problems and that's why I gave that up. But I did that for a number of years when I retired.
Yeah. And would you think, I mean, it sounds like you're doing a lot of good stuff anyway, the Tai Chi and potentially the dancing. Is there any way that you could broaden your horizons a bit more at the moment, bearing in mind that it could be so important for your bone health?
I suppose I could do walking a bit more. I just walk around the house all day and that sort of thing, but I don't go out for walks.
Okay. I'm going to ask a question of you. With you being older, you may not be familiar with smartphones and tools that younger people might use to help them keep active and to prompt them.
Yes.
In your age group, is there anything that you can think of that might help to prompt you to be more active?
Not really, no.
You don't have a smartphone?
No, oh no.
Never heard of pedometers?
Pardon?
So these are little things that you put on your belt.
Oh, yes,
that
yes.
Keep a,
how many steps you take.
Exactly,
yes, yes, I've heard of those.
So potentially those can be quite helpful if you're interested in keeping an eye on how active you are.
Right.
But really just being aware of it is the important thing more than anything else. Okay. Okay, and never smoker. We're going to come back to your diet in more detail, but you're thinking that there might be a deficiency in calcium and you're wanting to know whether calcium is right
for you. That's right, yes.
Yeah, good. Okay, general health-wise, your weight is, your body mass index, I think, is a good body mass index. Let me just double-check that on the computer record that we've got here. So we have 26, which is a perfect body mass index, and we're very happy with your weight.
Good.
So you're not underweight. And you're not overweight.
No, no.
So just a very happy medium. Right. So people that are particularly underweight can be more prone to osteoporosis.
Yes, I've read about that before,
Worthwhile being aware of. Good. And you're not vegan?
No.
And you've got a good mixed diet, which includes fruit and vegetables.
But
we're going to talk a little bit more about the calcium content of your food as well. What about sunlight exposure?
Oh, I love sunlight.
Good.
Yes, okay. I go abroad 2-3 times a year. Fortnight at a time. Got a patio at home, and when the sun shines, I'm out there.
Yeah.
Love the sunshine.
Okay.
In it as much as possible.
And the reason I'm asking you about sunshine and sunlight is that when you're outside, you tend to be more active.
Yes.
But also, your skin is exposed to sunlight, which helps vitamin D activate.
Yes.
And that means that that protects your bones as well. So in the dark winters, we would normally recommend that you take an over-the-counter supplement of vitamin D. That could be something like Value Pack vitamin D, just one capsule a day to protect your bones over the long British winters.
Yes.
Certainly, people living in Scotland probably ought to be taking that all year round.
Yes.
But in England, we usually recommend over the darker months that it's worthwhile taking vitamin D. But when you're away on a nice sunny holiday, you probably don't need to worry too much about that. Good. So dietary-wise, we'll come back to the full content of your diet when we talk about that as well. So I've got some information in front of me here about the latest bone density scan that you had done. And this one was done a year and a half ago.
Yes.
The numbers that we're going to take from here is your bone mineral density. And we're going to use your bone mineral density and we're going to plug that into a computer program that we've got here that hopefully will help you and me be more informed about what your future risks are of fractures.
Right.
And what can be done to try and minimise those future risks, if that's okay. So we've got a very handy bit of software which is available on the internet, and all people need to do when they're looking this up is to go to the osteoporosis decision aid, which is available through the Mayo Clinic. So that's an American website, but reliable for British lifestyles as well. And this is quite helpful because what we do is we put your age into here, which is now 76. Six. We put your sex into there. We put your population group, so you're Caucasian. And then we put your bone mineral density into here, which we've got for your femur. Femurs are much more reliable than lumbar spines. We tend to find that the spine tends to have some arthritic changes and the bone density is not very reliable. So we take the bone mineral density off your femur. We usually go for the one which has the lowest bone mineral density to allow us to make helpful decisions for you. So we've got a figure of 0.733 for you. We're going to put in more information about you as well. So we put in that you've had a previous fracture, but that you don't have a family history of osteoporosis know about.
No.
In particular, none of your parents have had a hip fracture. We have to also include if there's a particular reason for secondary osteoporosis. We've talked about rheumatoid arthritis. You don't have that. You're not on steroids. You're not a particularly heavy drinker, but alcohol is important, so we're going to include that as well. So there's no secondary osteoporosis for you, but you've not been on steroid tablets or steroid infusions of any sort. You've never been a smoker, but your alcohol consumption is above that threshold.
Yes.
So we're going to put that in, and then we're going to click on current risk. And when we click on current risk, it then tells us, without any treatment, that if we do nothing, your chances over the next 10 years of having an osteoporotic fracture overall is 10%. So we take 100 people like you and don't give you any treatment, then you've got a 10% chance of having a fracture.
Yes.
What we need to know is if we intervene and give you the alendronic acid
again, yes.
How much difference does that make? So we're going to click on intervention and then we click on bisphosphonate, yes. And then that tells us that we will protect 4 people out of 100 from getting a fracture by them taking alendronic acid.
So it's well worth it, isn't it?
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's worth
it. It's only one tablet a week. It's not difficult. It's not doesn't impose upon your lifestyle or anything.
It's not
trouble at all, really, is it?
Some people might say that, and some people would say completely different. And it's a value based decision based on how comfortable you are about taking a tablet every week of your life for the next 10 years to get those benefits.
Well, I think it's well worth it.
So that's 4 people that are getting a benefit for all 100 having to take the treatment.
Yes. But still, if I was one of those 4,
exactly,
that's what matters, isn't it?
Exactly. So it's a life-changing thing, having a fracture, particularly a major fracture.
Yeah. I may not be so lucky for it just to be my wrist another time.
Mm.
It could be something much worse and make life much more difficult for me.
Absolutely. So wrists are relatively minor in the big scheme of things, but if you were to break your the neck of your femur, so your leg bone, that can be very disabling, and that can actually be a life-changing event.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really helpful to get your your take on those numbers, because someone else would probably think in a completely different way. So after all, I'm treating all 100 people and 96 out of those 100 aren't getting any benefit, but only 4 of them are. So everybody else would take a slightly different spin on that, wouldn't they? Now, I'm going to go into a bit more information, provide you with a bit more information about some of the pros and cons, the potential problems with taking this. Now, you're speaking from experience. You know what it's like to take this tablet. But I'm just going to share with you the potential problems that some people have with this.
Right.
1 in 4 people will have some nature of difficulty related to their tummy.
Right.
Now, that can be heartburn. That could be nausea. That can be tummy pain. Those are the most common side effects. They may not be sufficient for you to stop taking the medication, but 1 in 4 people will notice some sort of side effects. Those sort of side effects are absolutely fine because they'll always go away when you stop taking
them.
So they're not a particular worry. So you can always try something out, try out the medication, and if it doesn't suit you, we can always talk about it again. But there are 1 in 10,000 people who are on this medication over that period of time that will have a major problem with arthritis and very nasty pain in their jaw, which might end up needing an operation.
Right.
Now, that tends to happen in people that have already got problems with their jaw.
I talk a lot and I don't have any problems with my jaw.
Okay. So we're thinking that you're in a low-risk group. You've used it before. You've not had any problems.
No, not at all.
We're thinking that's going to be relatively safe for you. And we've got to be very honest with you, is that 1 in 10,000 people, despite taking this tablet, we'll actually find that this tablet causes a fracture because it changes the nature of the bone that that you produce.
Yeah.
So we're now in a slightly no man's land game.
But that's 1 in 10,000.
Yes, exactly.
You've got to be very unfortunate,
exactly.
Have you not?
Exactly.
Very unfortunate for that to happen.
So we're talking on the basis of the evidence that we've got from people having used this medication. So we now recommend, and the recommendation is based on the numbers that we've got here, that if you've got osteoporosis or a degree of osteoporosis, which you do, your latest bone scan shows, actually it showed osteopenia rather than osteoporosis.
So it's a
slightly different diagnosis.
Yes.
So it's slightly thin bones, but doesn't quite reach the category of osteoporosis.
Okay.
So your bone density is slightly higher than osteoporotic. So it's osteopenic.
I want to keep it like that.
And you'd like to keep it that way. So that's fine. But we now have uncertainty about what to recommend for you. Because we've never done any trials on when you've taken alendronic acid before for three to five years and then you come back after a holiday of not using it, whether or not to recommend that we give it to you for any longer. So all the studies that have been done have only been done for 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
And all the evidence suggests that you get much less benefit and potentially you might get more harm if you use it for longer than a total of 5 years.
Right. But I haven't used it for a total of 5 years. I've only used it for 3 years.
Exactly.
So can I not take it for another 2 years or another 3 years and protect myself as best I can?
I'm comfortable with you making that decision as long as I put you in the picture enough for you to be able to make that decision.
Yes.
Yes.
It was explained to me after I'd been on it 3 years that it was best to come off because it could do no good after that, or it might do harm, but to take a holiday from it would break the pattern, for want of a better expression.
Yeah.
If it broke the pattern, then I could go on it again, which I'm prepared to do.
I like that expression of breaking the pattern. It's nice, isn't it?
Yes.
It summarises what we're trying to do for you.
And
I think that that's a reasonable approach for you to be making. What we often do as doctors is when somebody has a second fracture, we offer them again another opportunity to go on the treatment for another 3 to 5 years if they choose to do so.
Yes.
But again, we don't know that that's the right thing for them.
No.
And as long as you know that we don't know, it's up to
that's
you
right.
to be able to make that decision.
But why wait till I have another fracture before I decide to do it when I can make the decision a little earlier and perhaps prevent myself from getting osteoporosis totally?
But the small risk that we're taking with this is that we might be getting you to produce unhealthy bone, which is more prone to fracturing after you've been on treatment for too long.
Yes.
So I think that I like the logic that you're using. I respect your ability to be involved in that decision, to make that choice for yourself. So, and an extra 2 or 3 years would be a rational decision for you to be making. Yes. Very reasonable.
Good. Good.
But I couldn't make that decision for you.
No, but I'm quite happy to make that decision, because I think at least it's doing something positive rather than sitting waiting until something happens to me.
Perfect. Now, I'm going to write on you. So it sounds like we're both making a similar decision.
That's right.
that we're both...
Are you happy that I'm doing that?
I think that's very reasonable.
Good.
So I'm going to prescribe for you today anandronic acid for another 2 or 3 years, whichever you choose.
Right.
But I'm going to specify on your prescription that we stop it again in 2 or 3 years. So
indeed.
So if we say February in 2020,
yes,
that we stop it, or 2021 if you prefer, what should we say?
I've already taken it for another year already.
Yeah.
So that's, this is 18.
So we stop it in February 2020.
Yes, that would be best, wouldn't it?
That would be reasonable.
I think so, yes.
Okay. Now, you want my help also in making the calcium decision.
Oh, yes.
We've talked about vitamin D.
Yes.
And my recommendation to you with regard to vitamin D is you need vitamin D for healthy bones.
Right.
And you need probably 1,000 international units to be taken on a daily basis, particularly over the winter time.
Right. That's no problem at all.
So that's easy for you to get
from
a health food shop or from the chemist. Yeah. So one of those, a ValuPack vitamin D supplement on a daily basis. That is prescribable, but it's probably just as easy for you to buy it.
Yes, yes.
And then in addition to that, we're going to talk about your calcium requirements.
Right.
As I say, if you're away on a sunny holiday, you don't need to take your vitamin D with you. Or if we have really decent summer, then you don't need to take the supplements. Yeah, I know, isn't it just? So I'm just going to use another tool for you, which is called the calcium calculator, which is really helpful for you to know, do I need to chew on those awful calcium tablets, which are not easy to chew on, and you've got questions about how well that calcium is absorbed.
They got a little bit of a bad press, didn't they, at one stage? And I don't know, it seemed to be not just in one respect, there was TV programmes that mentioned it. It seemed to get the media seemed to take it on board for a period of time, didn't they?
There seemed to be some evidence to suggest that people that were on these supplements might be at a slightly higher risk of having heart attacks, angina.
Yes.
We're not altogether certain about that.
Yeah.
But if we can get it from dietary sources, then, and you don't have to chew these tablets, then that would be a sensible option for
you. Yes, it would.
So let's guide everybody to this calcium calculator. So if they look up a calcium calculator, which is available through a website in the United Kingdom, which is called CGEM, C-G-E-M, calcium calculator, and I think that's from Edinburgh.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken, if it's not from Edinburgh, then I'll edit it out of this recording. So all you need to do is on your computer, look up CGEM calcium calculator, bring this up, and then we'll go through the sort of foods that might have enough calcium in you, in them, to allow you to get enough calcium so that you didn't need to take the supplements, and we'll work that out between us. You've already mentioned that you're not in favour of adding milk to your
drinks. I drink green tea.
Yeah.
And I drink black coffee.
So I need to record on this calculator, how often in a week do you consume cups of tea, coffee, or anything else with milk in it?
None.
None at all. Okay. Do you ever have any milk or milky drinks?
I have hot chocolate
an
evening.
Every night?
Well, about 3 times a week I would have hot chocolate.
Okay.
Right.
We'll record that. What about cereal that includes...
I will have cereal with milk, and I do have porridge with milk.
So how often would you have that?
I have porridge every day.
Every day, yeah.
Yeah. I don't use a lot of milk with it, mind. I tend to put water in as well.
Okay. Well, maybe now that you want to put some extra milk in. Just to make sure. Milk puddings, that could be custard, ice cream or yoghurt.
I love ice cream. Mm-hmm. Eat loads of it.
How often?
Every day.
Every day. So 7 portions a day.
Yeah, and yoghurt I have about 2-3 portions a week.
Okay, so we're going up to about 10 portions of milk puddings there. Chocolate bars?
Oh, yes.
How often?
2 a week.
2, okay.
Yes.
Slices of bread?
Don't eat bread.
portions of cheese?
I would have 3 times a week, I would say I'd have cheese.
Servings of lasagna, macaroni, cheese, moussaka or pizza?
Yes, I had lasagna yesterday. I would say 3 times a week.
Okay. Portions of cottage cheese?
None.
Eggs?
Don't eat them.
Biscuits?
Eat biscuits a bit.
How many times a week?
I would just eat a biscuit one per day, probably.
So let's say 7 per week.
Yes.
Cakes?
Perhaps 1 a week, that's all.
Green vegetables?
I hate broccoli and sprouts and things, but I eat peas. I quite like leeks and things. I would say I have green vegetables 5 times a week.
Okay. Portions of sardines or pilchards?
None.
None at all. Other portions of fish?
I would have 2 a week.
And oranges?
None.
Okay.
Now, I have an apple every day.
Great. That doesn't count for calcium.
I know that. I have an apple every day. Good. Can you write it down somewhere?
Well, I think it's worthwhile just emphasising that just because I've recorded these things down here doesn't reflect that I think that this is a healthy diet.
No.
But this tells you what you're getting in terms of calcium.
Yes.
And obviously a healthy diet would include ideally 5 portions of fruit or veg a day.
Yes.
And wouldn't include the biscuits and the cake.
Obviously.
And you can have chocolate every now and then, but not on a daily basis.
No, I don't have it on a daily basis.
But for your weight, you're doing fine.
Yes.
Yeah. So we calculate at the bottom of that, and that will give us an idea of whether you're getting to that magical 700 milligrams per day.
Yes.
And you are already.
Am I?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, the only thing that we have to say about that is that you've been putting a little bit of extra milk, water with your milk for your cereal. But if you were to take just pure milk with your cereal, I think you'd be fine and you don't need the calcium tablets.
No.
Which will be easier for you, so we can take the calcium with vitamin D out of your prescription and you could just take supplements of vitamin D.
That would be easier.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. That would make me feel happier as well. Yes.
Now, we've gone through, covered quite a lot of ground.
We have.
Perhaps if you could just sum up for me what you're going to do that's going to be different from here on in.
I'm going to try and do something about milk. I will try and increase the vegetables, although I do have vegetables every day, but I tend to like sweet corn and things like that. But I'll obviously think about green vegetables. I do like fish rather than meat, I must admit I do that. I didn't think oranges contained calcium. I never knew that.
Yeah.
So
that's a learning experience for me as well, because I hadn't realised that.
Didn't know that, no. So perhaps I should do something about that, because I quite like oranges, why not?
But fish is more healthy than meat generally, isn't it?
That's right, but I do enjoy fish. If I go out to a restaurant, I have fish.
Lovely.
I go out every week at least once, and I always have fish.
So that's the dietary side of things. Could we sum up the other things that we touched upon earlier on in our conversation?
I am really happy to go back onto hyaluronic acid. I don't mind at all. I think 1 tablet a week when you've got to sit up in bed, I just take it, sit up in bed for 30 minutes, read the paper, and that's it. It's not really inconvenient.
So it's really worthwhile just reminding everyone else what it involves, because you've taken it, you know what it involves.
Yes.
But I just need to read that out for everyone just to emphasise how they would use this medication. And it suits most people. So once a week.
Yes.
On an empty stomach.
On
so
an empty stomach.
Most people would recommend that. First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And they take plenty of water with it.
That's right.
But they need to be upright at the time.
Yes.
And they need to stay upright for 30 minutes.
That's right.
And then they can't eat anything until that 30 minutes has passed.
That's right.
And that's it.
That's it. Not difficult.
And most people would probably carry that on for at least 3 years if they can, if it's tolerating.
Yes.
And probably no more than 5 years. Mm. And after 5 years, we're in really uncertain territory as to whether we might be starting to cause some harm. And we don't really think they're causing any major benefit with using it. So
the fact that I broke that pattern with the 2 years holiday, surely that's helpful to my health. Now,
I can't say that.
Or because we don't know, well, do we?
I just don't know. No. But your decision to take it for another couple of years is reasonable.
Yes.
And in terms of relative benefits, your absolute risk, because you're no longer osteoporotic, you're now osteopenic,
yes,
is down to 10%. So 10 people like you over the next 10 years without any treatment would end up having a fracture.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reducing your number by a proportion down from 10% to 6%.
That's right.
With taking an extra tablet.
Yes.
We think.
Yes.
We think.
And we hope.
Yeah, exactly. So that's ideally what we're trying to do. But we're not saving, there's six people that are still going to have fractures no matter what we do.
Yes, indeed.
And there's still going to be 90 people that are treated.
Well, it's going to make no difference.
No difference at all. Well, there's 96 people where we're making no difference, but 90 people would be fine whether we treated them or not.
Yes.
And six people are going to have fractures whether we treat them or not.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's quite clear.
Yes, yeah.
Just going back to the lifestyle thing, because I think it's really important to emphasise those lifestyle things. So you'll pass the time when we would give you oestrogen.
Yes.
And you had oestrogen for the whole of your reproductive life up until beyond.
Into my 60s.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you had decent protection from that side of things.
Right.
So we usually recommend making sure that there's plenty of oestrogen around up until about 50.
Yes.
And that makes a lot of sense. That protects your bones. We've talked about... So maybe you could just echo again what we talked about earlier on about lifestyle things that you can do.
Well, certainly I'll have to look at the alcohol and try and get a couple of days a week when I don't have... I tend on a lunchtime just to have a drink. Well, it becomes a habit, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it I can easily stop that for a couple of lunchtimes. That's no bother at all.
Yeah, yeah.
No bother at all.
So the recommendations are to make sure that your alcohol consumption is not above the government's recommendation, and that's for
14.
That is now 14 or
yes,
less for men and women.
Yes.
So it's uniform for both of us now,
that's
really,
right,
isn't
now.
It? And that would help protect your bones as well as other things as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Other things?
I will keep up with the Tai Chi every week.
Brilliant.
And I've even persuaded my husband to start going.
Perfect.
For the past few months as
Perfect.
Well. So I will keep up with that. I do like it, and I do exercises, and I do practice it each day. I admit only for 10 minutes or so, but at least I do that each day.
Great.
And I'll continue to do that.
So that's a really positive thing. So that could be part of what you're doing.
Yes.
But it also sounds as if you might be quite interested in expanding some of your other activities that
that's
you used
right.
to do before.
Yes, I could do. Certainly, my husband goes for a walk every day, and I could go with him, couldn't I?
Yeah.
I stay in the house so that he can get out on his own and not hampered by me. But it would be a good idea to just go out with him.
Would
for
you hamper
walk.
Him?
Well, I think he meets people and talks about football.
Oh,
other
okay.
men, you know what I mean? Bit boring.
Well, maybe when he does meet up with people, you could just carry on with the walk elsewhere.
Perhaps,
couldn't you?
Perhaps,
yeah,
yes.
There's ways around this.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Are there any other reversible things, any other changeable things that would affect your risk, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I sometimes find that I'm a bit of a busy person, and I'm busy around, and sometimes I do things a bit too quickly, and I increase my risk of falling. I think I do that. I've learned that recently. So I need to slow down a little bit as well.
So one of the things that you're already doing, which is really improving your risks, is these balance exercises. So Tai Chi is ideal for
it
that.
Is, yes.
So that the more you do, the more you protect yourself from the risk of falling.
That's right.
And that's really important
in your
age group, and in fact, in all age groups, really.
Yes.
So that's a really helpful, positive
thing.
But
it isn't too strenuous an exercise,
yeah.
And you do it slowly, and when it hurts, you stop.
Yeah.
You know, if it's...
And the other things that we've mentioned before, which don't really apply to you, are the smoking side of things. So
yes.
For those people who do smoke, it's a real priority for us to help them with their smoking.
Right.
And if they can't give up smoking, then they might want to think about vaping, which we know is a lot safer
right.
than smoking in all respects. And probably when it comes to bone health, it's probably a lot safer in that respect as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Good. Do you want anything clarifying?
No, thank you very much. I quite understand what's happening now.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to give you any written material based on what we've talked about? Because I can give you a print off of this to share with your husband if that's useful
to
you.
Oh, that would be useful.
Or even better than that, I can give you the website so that you can go on with your husband and show him what you've learned and
okay.
share it with him
right,
and
I could do
maybe
that.
With your friends as well.
Yes.
So I'll write those down for you. So the two main websites that we've used today, The first one is the Mayo Clinic's osteoporosis decision aid, and the second one was the CGEM calcium calculator.
Yes.
And those will be very useful tools, but I'll give you a print off of all the information
right.
that we've gone through.
So thank you very much.
Great.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.